Greetings in Christ. I'm Pastor Phil Boo. The New Testament reading for today is from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 19. Since, therefore, Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking, for whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. But they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is why the gospel was preached, even to those who are dead, that, though judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the Spirit the way God does. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Picking up with verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be put ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God, and if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, but now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. This text for today, within it, Peter is crying to us from the pages of Scripture, saying, "The end is near." It's a familiar refrain for those of us who've been following the news, or those who maybe are inundated by our social media friends, some of whom are convinced that yet again, the end is near. Well, I want to take this opportunity to assure you and remind you and give you hope that, yes, it's true. The end is indeed near. But it's not near because of any political instability or due to the economy or some new pandemic on the horizon. Even wars and rumors of wars aren't anything new. St. Peter is telling us that the end really is near, but only because Christ himself has promised it. Friends, Jesus is coming back. The return of our Lord, the judgment of all things, the restoration of creation, those are the things that we are looking forward to. And in many ways, that's exactly what Peter is pointing us to. And for those of us who trust in Christ, whose faith was given to us in our baptisms, and we cling to the promises of Christ, the fact that the end is near is not a threat, but a promise that gives us hope and joy. But here's the thing, we're living in pretty strange in-between times, aren't we? The end is near, yes, but it hasn't happened yet. We're still here, and God, through Peter, calls us to ponder. How are we to live while we wait? Well, I think of a sinking ship. Perhaps not the nicest way to think of the world in which we live, and yet, if you watch any movies where the ship begins to sink, there's always a scene where, once the captain knows what's happening, the panic and the chaos is all juxtaposed to people all looking to save themselves. save themselves from the impending disaster, to preserve themselves. And after all, that's only natural. Every man for himself. Isn't that how it goes? This whole idea of women and children first is actually a pretty new phenomenon. Well, that's what our sinful nature wants to do. Every man for himself, but God calls us to a better life. Even when things are looking a little grim, God calls us to love more, not less. He wants us to serve more as we see the end draw closer, not less. And as we await the return of Christ, even when the things in this life might remind us that the end is near, God calls us to be hospitable and helpful, not withdrawn or isolated. And as his children, our Heavenly Father doesn't leave us alone to figure all of this out, but because Jesus has already done that which we could never do, because he has stood in our place and took upon himself all the sins of the world, all that selfishness and pride and really all that desperate grasping to save ourselves from whatever we think we might be in control of, Jesus takes all of that and he pays the price for it on the cross. His blood covers a multitude of sins, as Peter says, not just our sins, but the sins of the whole world. And that means that our lives aren't here for us to strive and earn and fight for God's approval. We're already forgiven for the sake of Jesus. We're already loved with a holy love that we could never match, although we're called to imitate it. We're already saved from the consequences of sin, which leaves us free. Free from the desperate need to look out only for ourselves. We're free to serve and love our neighbor. This is why Jesus came to us in the flesh. He didn't leave us as orphans. He came to forgive us and restore us, to make us his own. He died for our sins and rose again, and he promised to come at the end of time. So when Peter says the end is near, he's reminding us that our Lord is faithful. He keeps his promises. Jesus said he would return soon, and so in faith, we can only conclude that the end is near, no matter what's happening out in the world. Dear saints, that's not naive. That's what it means to be sober-minded in the truest sense. We see clearly what's happening in the world, but we refuse to let fear be our master. We refuse to be selfish and only be concerned with self-preservation. We love our neighbors because God has loved us. So when you hear more voices telling you that everything is falling apart, remember this: you belong to Christ. You are forgiven and you have nothing to fear. God, through Peter, calls us instead to love one another, to serve and welcome one another. Not because we're naive about the darkness, but because the light has already come to us in Jesus Christ. Friends, the end of all things really is at hand. Thanks be to God. Well, I hope that you have received something from that message. I want to end now with just a word of prayer. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come. And help us by your might, that the sins which weigh us down may be quickly lifted by your grace and mercy. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.